の一歩を踏み出す目の一歩を踏み出す初めの一歩目の一歩を踏み出す目の一歩を踏み出す初めの一歩つまずく。This is H10 Hanshin Tigers English News. We are back, and so are all the Hanshin Tigers fans who are all over the world that gather together and catch up on the team that actually didn't have too bad an August without me. I was away for all of August, as you may have heard on the website or elsewhere, and my name is T-Ray, and this is September the 3rd, 2019, episode 104. Welcome to the show, and alongside me is the old faithful, JD out in Kyoto. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I took pretty much the entirety of August off as well. Got a little vacation time in there. Caught a few games, and for some reason, all the games that I caught were really underwhelming ones. But yeah, we're back in it now, and here to watch the Tigers continue at least through September, maybe into October, maybe?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, there's still... This week is really it. This is the crucial week coming up right now. But yeah, man, you know, the team has somehow kind of put together like a Toritani type of month. And what I mean by that is like nothing that Toritani does, and I don't mean 2019 Toritani, but nothing, if you look at his career, like there's no real spectacular like, wow, he had an amazing season or he had an amazing month here or anything like that. Like he's just steady. And when you look, you know, when the dust settles and you look, you're like, hey, that's pretty good. And that's kind of how the month of August went, I felt. And speaking of Toritani, we are going to get to him because he is the main topic of today's show. Before that, though, let's jump into some
rumors and news.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news. Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
All right, so rumors and news. We have got some hospital bed news, of course, as we always do. We've got some agricultural news, as we always do. And then we've also just got some milestones and stuff that we would like to talk about as well. So let's start with the old health check. Yoshio Itoi went down, I believe, against the Hiroshima Carp at the start, near the start of the month. I think it was August the 9th, and he actually may be gone for the season, they tell me. His left ankle, it looked like it might recover, but then he re-aggravated it or something. I think it's his Achilles, actually, that I had some issues with or something like that. And so, or maybe not his Achilles, but some tendon issues down there anyways. So yeah, he might be done, and I don't know. I mean, I can't say that he'll be sorely missed because he wasn't having a great season anyways, but I mean, I guess like, I mean, he was our only batter that was hitting for respectable average, and but his power was lacking, his speed was somewhat lacking, his defense of course was joggingly mediocre. So yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, it does hurt, you know, because like you said, he was the only guy really that was hitting for good average. But again, yeah, he's not exactly someone that we've relied on in terms of durability, I don't think. So it's not much of a surprise for me. And, you know, even without him, I think the team has pulled some wins together. So I don't really know what to say. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I'm not going to miss him that much.
Yeah, you know, we can talk about him maybe a little bit later in the show as well. But if you look at the quality of Itoi that we've seen since we picked him up at the start of 2017, I don't know, man. I mean, he maybe wasn't all the hype that he brought with him. He wasn't worth the hype anyways.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah, I mean, at least not for the price tag that we paid for him.
So in other news anyways, let's move on to the pitchers. And we've got a couple, actually three guys that we want to talk about as far as injury / farm stuff. The first one being Randy Messenger, who left Japan and it was looking like his season was in doubt, but he came back, I think it was around August 12th, 13th, something like that, came back to Japan right around his birthday, and he actually pitched a couple of innings in a farm game on the 27th. That one got rained out, so his innings didn't count on record, but he gave up a home run that I saw, and that's about it. I would imagine if he's here and he's practicing and he's pitching on the farm that we could expect him back sometime in September, but I don't know when and where he's going to fit into the rotation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, rooting for him to make a comeback anyway.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, like we know that he's just a couple wins away from 100 for on his career, which would put him in a tie with Gene Backe as well as Nankai Hawks' Joe Stanka for the NPB record for Gaijin. So we'd love to see him get that. Of course, before season's end would be ideal, but I don't know, time's running out. Speaking of guys who have come back, Yuta Iwasada made his long-awaited comeback on September the 1st against the Giants. He was away from the team for 4 months, and when he first left the team, it was influenza. And then he aggravated himself. I think he pulled some oblique muscles or something like that. But he came back and did quite well. But, you know, he's just adding more beef to the rotation, which never hurts, especially down the stretch like this.
Absolutely. No, it's good to have him back. And yeah, he pitched a great game against a tough team. So congratulations on that.
Yep. And then finally, speaking of September the 1st and the farm and so on, Shintaro Fujinami, who is going to come up at the top of the show with the recaps. He actually was down on the farm and he pitched against the Hawks and he had very little control. I think he hit one or two guys, but he certainly his total was 5 innings pitched. 7 runs against and 5 walks/hit batters. So I don't know if we're going to see him back this year. It's looking pretty pretty tight here, pretty tough. So it could be just one start from him all year, and that kind of hurts. And we've talked about him in previous shows and how much he should mean to the team and how much he hasn't meant to the team this year and even last year. I don't know, man. I just feel like maybe this is the off season that we let him go.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later too, but I don't even know what to say anymore. I've said everything I could possibly say, I think, so I'm just going to let this one slide now.
Yep. All right, well, that about does it for injuries/farm, except for the fact that we started out last show with an exciting Solarte call on a walk-off home run, and he got sent out into the farm about 3 weeks after that. I think it was the 19th of August he got sent down. And obviously he has not made a return yet because he's only just eligible or just became eligible, I think, on the 29th or so. But he hasn't come back. He's only played in 5 games down on the farm. And yeah, I don't know. It sounds like maybe they're done with him, but I would love to see them give him another chance. It's just, again, like we talked about last show, it's a big puzzle, right? Like, I mean, how do you fit four Gaijin into the spots when there are 5 that are ready and willing and presumably able to fill those spots?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, he came in with a bang and then really cooled down fast. And so I it doesn't really surprise me that much, although I still wish the team would be a little more patient. But at the same time, you know, like you said, they're kind of in a tough position. So I don't think this was as much of the typical Tigers thing where they give a guy like 3 games and they're just like, nope, see ya if you don't produce right away. So I don't know. It's a tough call. He seems to be doing relatively well on the farm, which, again, I mean, that doesn't mean that much. But who knows? You know, hopefully we'll see him come back up again and contribute before the end of the season. But yeah, it's hard to say.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I mean, it'll depend on the health of our guys as well, like the other the pitchers and so on. But yeah, we're going to talk about this later in the show about who's getting cut and who's not getting cut and so on and so forth. Yeah, I'm already in Solarte's camp for giving him another shot if he's willing to stick around. But we will talk about that later in detail. Right now, though, seeing as neither of us really watched a ton of baseball this past month, this is going to be a pretty quick section, but get ready for a whole month worth of recaps. Recap! So we left off last time on August the 1st before the game in great anticipation of what Shintaro Fujinami was going to do in his big 2019 debut. What did he do, man? What did he do?
I don't know. He went to a full count probably 27 times or so, I think. I don't know, man. It was not pretty. That was, you know, and I was working late that day, but I remember at my office, I put the game on because I was just dying to see, you know, what he was going to do. And right from the beginning, it was just like, oh, man. I mean, the game wasn't a disaster. I mean, he still won that game. But he didn't get, you know, completely shellacked, but he just did not have good control. It was just typical Fujinami pitching, and what else can you really say about it? It was just like, okay, that's it, you know.
4 1/3 innings pitched and walked 6 and plunked 2, which means that 2 guys per inning got free passes, basically, from him, which is not a recipe for success. However, he only gave up 1 run, so, you know, he hung in there when he needed to, which I guess was impressive in its own right. And yeah, the team won that one 3-2. He didn't get the win, but he did get the boot. He got sent right back down to the farm. So that was that. And that was actually that was like, I decided I was going to start my 30-day fasting of the Tigers on that day after Fujinami got pulled. And true to form, I actually turned the TV off after he was pulled and I didn't watch the end of the game. So, yeah, you know, later on, I guess I found out. The thing is, like, I'll kind of preface all of our recaps with this because I got to explain a little bit about how my fasting worked. It wasn't like a super strict, like, I cannot see any black and yellow during this whole month, or I can't, like, I can't know any scores or anything like that. Like, people talk to me and everybody knows me as T-Ray. And so they're going to say, like, hey, the Tigers have been doing really well lately, or, oh, man, the Tigers are terrible, or, you know, I'm getting bits and pieces here and there. So I kind of knew what was going down. But yeah, like I didn't, my rule was I can't turn on the TV of my own volition and check the games. And so my wife turned on a couple of games after the kids were in bed. My son requested that we watch a couple of games before bed. So I caught innings here and there. So it wasn't like a full fast, but it definitely was like, I'm not paying active attention. So that's going to be reflected in these recaps here.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same way that I operated too. We had a little bit of family vacation time stuff, and I wanted to make sure I focused on that too, as well as getting my daughter ready to go back to school and all that. So yeah, I did catch a couple of games, but nothing. I don't think I watched an entire game front to front to back for the entire month. So yeah, so the recaps are going to be a little bit scant this time, but that's all right. We'll blaze through them and get to the meat of the show, which is the real interesting stuff, I think, later on, the hot topics.
Absolutely, yeah. So, okay, so we went into Hiroshima to start the Road of Death, and we lost 2 of 3, 0-7 loss, 4-1 win, and a 5-10 loss. Did you catch any of that? I caught zero. I caught nothing.
No, but I did look at the last game, and I mean, the only real impressions I have from this series were that, you know, Iwata got shellacked again, and I was like, you know, he came in really strong at the start of the season, but I knew he was going to come back down to earth at some point, and I feel like we've kind of seen that now, and it's too bad, but you know, back to the usual Iwata that we had before.
Well, the result is that he is down on the farm. And so I don't know if he's going to make it back this season either. But the other thing, this is a bit of Carp news that came out, I think, the week after, or maybe even the week after that. But one of their guys got caught drinking the Kool-Aid, the wrong kind of Kool-Aid.
That's right,
and so Javier Batista, hasta la vista, I guess. I don't know what the punishment is going to be as far as league or as far as team goes, because I think it's still being clarified as to the nature of his cheating, but it was illegal substances, so he's done. So that's good. I mean, dude, that guy made Barry Bonds' head look like an idol almost, you know what I'm saying? Like, his head was pretty darn huge. So anyhow, the Carp anyways have had an interesting season, but we are not Seahen. Wait, H-Sen, sorry. C-Hen sounds funner. Anyways, so we lost 2 of 3 there, which is not cool. And then we went into Jingu to play the last place Swallows, and we lost 2 of 3 there as well. 3-4, 2-11, and then we won 5-3 in the finisher.
Yeah, well, Akiyama, came back and pitched relatively well. I mean, good enough to get the win. So that's good. You know, you try to salvage what you can from it. Garcia, unfortunately, though, the first game, he lost that one and started a string of losses for the month of August, which we can talk about a little bit. But yeah, he's not looked well all August, and that was sort of the start of it. So
yeah, so at this point, we've lost 2 straight series, and then we go into Kyocera Dome to face the Carp, the same Carp, and we lose the first one 5-11. Now, Haruto has gotten beaten by them 2 straight, 0-7 and then 5-11, so it's not looking good for him. Speaking of which, he will be starting probably this weekend against the Carp again. But yeah, so we lost 5-11, but we came back with a couple of wins, 6-5 and 6-5. And these were the two games my wife actually turned on at the end after the kids were in bed. And it was good timing because we got a walk-off win on a Yusuke Oyama home run on the Saturday. And then we also got an 8th-inning bases-clearing double, if I'm not mistaken, from Oyama as well on the Sunday. So he did his job. And he had been dropped down into the 6th slot prior to this series, I believe. I think it was even the Friday. I'm not really sure. But so he was a little bit, butt sore because of that. But he deserved it, of course. But yeah, he actually produced after 8 p.m., so I'm pretty happy about that. I'm still going to insist that it's not his favorite time of day, but he actually did some work those two games. You know, even a broken clock is right twice a day, so maybe twice a season he will do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, you've heard me on the podcast before talking about how I think it was time for him to be put somewhere else. And I think actually it was on the 10th, the very day that he hit that walk-off home run, that he was dropped down to the sixth spot, although I might be mistaken. But finally, you know, it was like it's time for it to happen. And, you know, it obviously wasn't sustainable, but still just switch it up a little bit. And they finally did it. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Well, this was actually the middle of 9 straight games because of national holiday in Japan. We had a Monday game, and we played 3 straight in Nagoya, in Nagoya. We lost the first one 1-5. We tied 0-0. What a honor in the middle game, and then we won the third game 6-3. So we broke even in Nagoya, which actually is not a bad thing. It's kind of a rare occurrence that we actually do that well there. So
here's the one game I watched to the end. You guessed it. It was the 0-0 tie. I don't know why I did that, but I sat through the whole thing, and at the end of it I was like, why did I just waste like 4 hours of my life? But so hey, true fans tough it out, right?
I guess. And it looks like we got runners in scoring position several times, but we're not able to. Actually, I can see like four times that we had runners in scoring position, 5 times even the whole game. So, but we had a few double plays, which definitely helped the opposition. But on the bright side, I mean, our pitchers did quite well. We struck out 14 guys on the day. So that's not a bad job from the pitchers. Actually, 14 and no walks. They walked 7 guys. We walked no guys. So, which means, I mean, we had way more guys on base and should have had runs, but we didn't. Anyhow, so now we got 3 games in Tokyo Dome, and it's kind of this roller coaster ride where either we dominate series or they dominate series. I love that plural. But they did it. They doubled us in each game. They beat us 2-1, 4-2, and 6-3. I didn't watch any of that either. You got anything to say about that?
Not really. I mean, at least we didn't get completely blown out. I mean, I know a loss is a loss, so that's that. But it wasn't like we were getting stomped on all over the place. So, I mean, I guess you sort of take some solace from that, but yeah.
Yeah. So this was actually after the series was when Solarte got sent down to the farm. So I'm going to assume that he did really terribly, especially in this series. Because otherwise, I mean, he was pretty good against the Giants up until then. So, so we take out our anger on the Bay Stars, as we always do after we get humiliated by either the Carp or the Giants. And at Kyocera Dome, we beat them 3 straight and actually quite handily, 8-0, 3-1, 8-0. Who would have thought you could hold the Bay Stars to 1 run in 3 games in a relatively hitter-friendly park?
Mm-hmm. And also, we scored a lot of runs against them too, which is great. And the other thing too is that, I mean, although we're still a little ways out of the A class, that's a big series for us to win, because DNA, I believe at that point, was in second place. So that helps us out as well. I've still got a little bit of hope for us making it there. I'll talk about that a little bit later, I guess. But it's always good to beat up on the guys that we usually beat up on. So good that we did that.
We didn't even bring our aces either. It was Aoyagi, Akiyama, and Mochizuki were our 3 starters. So not bad. Yeah.
And Mochizuki gets his first win. So that was great.
First career win, I believe. Yep. Mm-hmm. So then we finish off the road of death in Jingu for 3 against the Swallows, and we beat them 8-3, beat them 7-4, and then we lost 5-1 in our last game on the road during this long 3-week stretch. So we almost ended the road of death with 3 games at home in there, mind you, with a 6-game win streak, but we equaled our season best with a 5-game win streak there, or not equaled, that was, we set our season best with a 5-game win streak there. And ended it with an unfortunate loss. So there you have it. We've got one more week of recaps, but we also have the first series, which was against the Dragons. We got rain, 1-0 loss, and rain. So we only played 1 game there. I was supposed to go to the first one of that at Ponta Deck, but it got rained out. Man, I can't tell you how disappointing it is. Like, when you're just going with a buddy or just going with, you know, your wife or with the family or whatever, it's like, oh, that's too bad, and then whatever, but Ponta Deck is 16 people, so I had invited 15 people to come with me to this game. And, you know, we were all excited about it, and, you know, to contact them all, because they're not huge Tigers fans, and say, hey, game's rained out. It's so disappointing, man.
Yeah.
It hurt. But so anyways, the 1-0 loss sandwiched in there, and so Aoyagi, the victim of poor run support, which he has been for much of the month, if you look back on the games that he pitched. And then we go... We faced the Giants 4-3, and miraculously the weather was good. The forecast was for a lot of rain, but we lost the first one 4-1. And then we won 4-2, and then we won 2-0 on September the 1st, and that's where our recaps end. But during this stretch, if I'm not mistaken, including September the 1st, the team went 13-12-1, which if you look back at our predictions last show, I think I might have said we'd be lucky if we went 500, or I thought we wouldn't go 500. So
yeah, I think I said something similar, though, luckily if we go 500. So hey, yeah, hey, they exceeded my expectations.
Yep. So there you go. So way to go, Tigers, I suppose. But there you have it. We now sit two games out of the playoffs, which is the important thing now. I mean, you know, until September, really, what place you're in the standings doesn't matter so much as like, well, how's your record and how close are you to the top? You know, how respectable are you relative to the other teams? And now, you know, relative to the Carp, we are two games back. We are 5.5 back of the Bay Stars. So I kind of doubt that we will catch them. And of course, we're 9.5 back of the Giants. And so that's pretty much a foregone conclusion that we can't catch them. But just making the playoffs, I think, would be a huge accomplishment when you look at how first-year managers with this team do. Yano would be the first-year manager to make the playoffs with this team, I believe, since Yoshio Yoshida in 1985.
I mean, it's a possibility. It really, again, it depends on how, you know, the series, obviously, that we have against the Carp coming up are going to be huge. So we'll see. This is, you know, this next 2 weeks is make or break time. So good luck, Yano.
So this is the breakdown, anyways, of our schedule, what we've got left. We're pretty good against the Bay Stars, and we got 4 left against them, 1 at Koshien and 3 on the road. We're okay against the Carp this year, actually, but 3 of the games that we have left are in their stadium and 1 at Koshien. We have 3 left against the Giants. Let's not go there. We have 4 left against the Dragons. Let's not go there, which is sad to say, but we're terrible against them this year. And then we have 5 left against the Swallows, all of which are at Koshien. So that could bode well for us, but that remains to be seen. Anyhow, that's the layout of the rest of the schedule. So since we are at the start of a new month, and since we have had a month of baseball come and go, let's look at some guys that stood out for the team with our Players of the Month.
What you gonna do when your team needs you? You're gonna stand tall and hit it over the wall. You are the Player of the Month. The man, the myth, the tiger. Your Player of the Month.
Well, JD, you watched more ball than I did this month. Yep. So maybe it's going to be on you to choose a hitter and a pitcher of the month for us, if you don't mind.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't follow that carefully, but looking back on everyone, like I found a few guys who seemed to stand out for me, and so I looked at them, and then amongst them, I whittled it down to 4 pitcher. I'm going to go with, and this might become a little bit out of left field, so to speak, but Iwazaki, Suguru Iwazaki, I thought, just in terms of what he's, how the sort of solid reliever he's become for us. You know, he followed up a great July with an almost equally great August. He had 13 appearances for a 1.46 ERA, gave up just 1 home run, only 5 hits against. So he only walked 1 as well. So I think, you know, middle relief in a lot of the games, those tight games, you know, somebody to come in and just sort of shut down the opposing team is really important. And he has been that guy for us throughout August. So I'm going to give it to him. You know, our starters, nobody really stood out as really lights out. I mean, guys who perform really well in the past, like Haruto Takahashi, for example.
He sputtered, eh?
Yeah, really sputtered out. So, yeah, so I mean, I just sort of had to look into the bullpen, and Iwazaki was the guy who stood out for me. So I'm going to give it to him for our pitcher.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. I was just looking at his numbers. And, yeah, man, when you're allowing an average of 1 runner every 2 innings that you pitch, in other words, every 2 appearances, I mean, you're not gonna give up a lot of runs that way, and that's pretty solid. And he's been counted on in some pretty clutch situations. So, yeah, I'm totally good with that call of yours. How about with hitters, man?
Gotta be Marte, I think. I mean, just looking at what he's accomplished for August, I mean, he's raised his level again. You know, he batted 308 on the month, 2 home runs, 12 RBIs. You know, he's just turned into a really solid guy, and he seems to have responded to being put in the number four spot too. You know, I would like to see a little more power, but I really, with Marte, you can't complain. And the team seems to like what they see with him as well, which we'll talk about in a little bit too.
Sure. I'm going to jump in, and this is purely by numbers because I didn't watch, but what about Kid Nami? Seiya Kinami, he batted .431 on the month. He had two home runs, which is his best month ever. Just seven RBIs, but when you're hitting leadoff, that's kind of to be expected. And when you compare that to his July, in which he batted .088, that is a huge improvement. I think he is right now on an 11-game hitting streak, and that includes September 1, in which he got two hits. And so,
yeah,
22 hits on the month for him, pretty solid stuff. And he, his batting average on the year now is .274. And when you think back to how he started the year, do you remember, like, he went, like, 0 for his first, like, 15 or 16 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, the only reason I didn't go with him, I looked at that, but the only reason I didn't go with him is that he didn't play in as many games because he only got, was back in the lineup, I think, for maybe like 14 of those games or something, I think. So I figured Marte, you know, played a full 25. So I thought that he was a little more deserving of it, I think. But yeah, Kinami's been great. Absolutely. He's come back and responded really well. So yeah, good on him. We need that.
Another good thing about Marte is, like, he's really been selective at the plate, and he's improved a lot in that respect. He walked 15 times and struck out only 13. For a number four hitter, that's pretty solid stuff. I'd like to see a little bit more power, and I'm not going to play the, well, he doesn't hit enough home runs thing, but rather, like, even just getting his doubles numbers up and stuff too. But I have seen him elevate the ball more of late, at least in the games I've seen, and this includes July, more than he had in the past. And so that's pretty good stuff. So, yeah, I'm good with you giving it to Marte there for sure. Well, since neither of us watch very much ball, we're going to forego the old Yano section, and we're going to jump right into the hot topic.
Punching Tigers, English news. Punching Tigers, English news. Punching Tigers, English news. Punching Tigers, English news. Hot topics. Hot topics. Hot topics. Hot topics.
So everybody, we purposely skipped over this in the rumors and news section because it's too big of news to just be one piece out of many. The man who has been the Tiger for the last 16 seasons, Mr. Takashi Toritani, was basically told on the 29th of August, "Can you please retire as a Hanshin Tiger?" Was basically my understanding of it, and I read several articles because it is September, and you know, it was time to go look back on a big story. You know, basically they said, "What are your plans for your future? Because you're a free agent at season's end." And the team said, "Well, what do you think about going down as a Hanshin Tiger star and retiring while you're still a star with the team?" In other words, they were saying, "We don't have you in our plans for 2020. And of course, you're free to walk. But don't you think it would be better if you just left your legacy with this team and this team alone?" And so right now, essentially, and Toritani even talked to reporters about it and kind of gave us a clear picture of what he was told and what he's thinking. You know, he's not really sure. He's not sure if he's going to retire or not, but he has the freedom to go check out other teams and play elsewhere and extend his career. So that's a huge bit of news because for those of you who aren't big Hanshin Tigers fans or don't know this, this is a guy that has the club record for most career hits, 2,082. This is a guy that has the second longest Ironman streak in NPB history at 1,939 games. This is a guy that played shortstop for the team and was the regular shortstop for the team. For 14 of his seasons or 13 of his seasons, he was the guy, like, full-time, like, full innings. Well, he was full innings for 667 straight games, which is, what, five straight seasons of not taking a single inning off. So this is, I mean, this is a significant story. To have a guy like this be gone for next year, because it's clear now, the team has said, we don't need you back, and obviously, you know, he can't force his way back in. What do you think about this, though, JD? Like, are you glad to hear that he is finally going to be gone? Are you sad about this? What's your take?
Ah, man. Well, it's bittersweet, you know. I mean, you look back at what he has meant to the team, you know, as a fan. You just, like, you already said everything that needs to be said, I think, about that. You know, he just had an amazing career. And I really would have liked to see him retire as a Tiger. But then I also see the team's perspective here. I mean, it's been tough watching the past couple of seasons, you know, with the team trying to find a way to fit a guy who, let's face it, is just not what he used to be, find a way for him to play on the team. You know, it started with Kanemoto trying to make sure that he kept his streak going so he could beat that record, using him, you know, having him in the lineup even when he clearly deserved not to be there or didn't deserve to be there. And then this year, again, you know, having him on the bench, you know, taking up a roster spot, let's be honest, you know, just to come in and pinch hit and often strike out or fly out or ground out, you know, more often than not. So I think, you know, I can kind of see, I really see both ways here. I understand that Toritani, you know, no player wants to just, you know, hang up the spikes, you know, and they want to keep going until they think they're completely done. And I can sort of see maybe that he feels like maybe if he had more regular playing time, he'd be able to, you know, bring his average up at least or something like that, which is why I can sort of see him wanting to continue elsewhere. But the team too, I mean, they've got to move on at some point here. You know, it's, there's younger guys who are the future of the team, that need to be in there as well. And, you can't just cut the guy. And obviously they're not going to just send him down to the farm. I mean, that if they could have done that, they probably would have already done that. So, I see both perspectives, and it's bittersweet, but I think, you know, it's time to move on. So if that means he's going to a different team, you know, then I wish him all the best, obviously. I would like to see him retire as a Tiger, but again, that's going to be his decision, and I really can't see any other way for this to pan out, so yeah.
Yeah, well, in essence, he was cut. I mean, the team has kind of said, we don't need you for next year, so
yeah,
you're free to go.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, like, and that's kind of the shocking thing, I think, especially for fans, is that, like, a guy that has contributed for this long to have been told, it's one thing if they had told him at season's end or if they had told him with a few games left in the year where the playoffs were already decided one way or the other. But to tell him on August the 29th or 30th or whatever it was, like, with still 20-some games left on schedule, you know, that, I think, was the shocker. It was like, because but what do you do now? What do you do? I mean, you can't farm him now because, you know, you haven't farmed him yet, like you said. But you also can't, like, just keep him on the bench, right? Because, well, maybe you can, maybe after, I don't know. But you also can't put him in as a starter because you've already told him, look, we don't need your services next year. So why would you give him a full game, or why would you let him start games other than perhaps a retirement game? And that'll come later if he does choose to retire. But, you know what I mean? Like, what do you do with him now? That's the question.
I see that too, but I feel like the writing's always been on the wall, like, all season long, you know? So
basically
what they said was just formalizing what I think everybody kind of knew it already, you know? Or at least if you didn't, then you kind of had to have your head under a rock in some ways, I think, you know? I mean, you know, did anybody really think he was going to be coming back next season? I don't know. I see what you're saying, but I don't entirely agree, I think.
Well, at season start, I'd already said in a YouTube video, I said he's retiring after this year. He's done after this year. So, no, this didn't surprise me in any, you know, in any form at all. Mm-hmm. But one way that I saw out of this that I thought could have actually worked, I don't know, because it doesn't get done very often. But what if, you know, since they kind of burned a spot on him, a roster spot on him all year this year.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was kidding themselves. I mean, nobody really thought, like, when are they going to use him? When are they going to put him as a starter? Like, I think everybody kind of knew that he wasn't going to be that starter at any point. But why not give him one more year, like, maybe as a player coach?
Mm.
You know, use that same kind of roster spot where he is in the active roster. Or even, you know what I mean? Like, you could deactivate him, I think. I'm not really sure. But I think you could deactivate him as a player for a 10-day stretch. And just say, okay, well, now you're still on the bench as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I can see that working, and I think, like, if you want to keep this guy on the team, if you want to keep his legacy, if you want to give him some dignity, and if you want to give the fans what they want, that kind of fits in a lot of different ways. And so it gives him a chance to be led into a managerial, I hope not, or coaching coaching spot. Well, it just seems like everybody's talking like he is going to be a manager someday. Mm-hmm. But you know, it kind of guides him into that without actually burning this bridge. I mean, I know that after he goes and, you know, if he does decide to continue his playing career, he does have a chance, of course, to come back as a coach or manager. It's not like the bridge is burnt. But I don't know. This is the scenario that I see, though. And I kind of laid this out in a Japan Ball newsletter. You know, let's assume that he tries out for other teams, right? What is his role going to be on that team? Because his two positions that he can play are shortstop and third. Okay. Who wants a shortstop with as little range as Toritani has got as he slows down? I mean, he's kind of shown in the last 3 years he's still got, you know, the sureness of being able to field the ball well when it's in his range and also throw fairly well. But he's not starting material at shortstop. He's not a defensive replacement. So where would you put him if he's not at short? And then at third base, you kind of want guys with a little bit more power than zero RBIs in 40 RISP situations this year.
Yeah. DH? I joke.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, I mean, like, so even if he goes somewhere else, he's only going to be, in my opinion, he's going to be a pinch hitter at best, right? So then the question remains, and this is a really tough one for Toritani, right? Do I finish my career and end my career on my terms when I feel like I've spent all that I've got? Because he doesn't feel that way right now. Or do I keep, you know, a dignity of sorts and stay with the Tigers and be able to say, like, I played my whole career with this team and I gave this team my entire devotion for my whole career? Because I think in some ways, like, as a storybook, that looks better. But then for personal pride and for personal, like, just feeling like you've had an accomplished career, I think, you know, going out on your own terms is a little bit sweeter end for him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the only problem I can see with the situation you just described is that if he's a pinch hitter elsewhere, it's exactly the same situation he's been in now, you know? Like, is he really going to be that much better? And do you really, I mean, do you want to have your career just, like limp off, you know, like the way that he's been doing lately? I mean, maybe he could bring up, you know, contribute more elsewhere, even as a pinch hitter, but I don't know. It just seems like kind of a sad way to watch someone go out, you know? And but I understand, you're totally right. You want to finish on your own terms, and I totally respect that. Which is why this is a difficult situation. You know, I can really see both ways, you know, being good in their own sort of respective ways. Yeah.
Here's another story I read, which really added perspective to the whole poor Toritani thing about this. And it's not, you know, this is a reality for players, so it's not like completely unique to him. But this is a guy that played every inning of every game, or at least every game for the better part of his career. And all of a sudden at the end of his career, you know, he goes stretches of not playing games for, you know, four or five in a row or whatever. And so up until this point, you know, as far as physical preparation and mental preparation, he had a system down, right? Like, I do my morning workout, I practice, I play the game, and then I do these things to care for my body to get ready for the next day, right? And even mentally, like, this is how I get into the game. This is what I think about before the game. This is how I analyze the pitcher that I know I'm going to face. To all of a sudden this year, you know, okay, well, I'm working out and then I'm spending 3 hours on the bench or 4 hours, right? And then I don't know if I'm going to play tomorrow. So, you know, how do I prepare my body for tomorrow, which I can't predict? You know, so I think that was really tough for him this year. It made it a real harder season for him. And that may have contributed some to his lack of production, just this unpredictability of his schedule, which he's not used to. I mean, he hasn't done this his whole career, so... Anyhow, one more thing to talk about with Toritani before we move on, if you don't mind. Have you got any favorite Toritani moments or achievements or anything, like something that you would say, this defines Toritani, or this is how I'm always going to remember him?
I think, honestly, I mean, the Batman incident for me was just absolutely amazing. I mean, there's a lot to pick from, but the fact that the guy, I mean, and this is in the middle of his streak too, the fact that the guy got hit in the face with a fastball, you know, like broke his nose. Yeah. I mean, the home plate was covered in blood. You know, I mean, the dude just got, you know, beaned as hard as you can get beaned pretty much. And he came in the next day and he almost hit a walk-off home run in that game. And I was at the game the next day where he came in with the full mask and everything. But I think to me, that just sort of defines the toughness of that dude. You know, you could not keep him out of the lineup. Even when you wanted to, I mean, sometimes, you know, but he was just tough as nails, and just the grit that the guy has, you know, that sort of, to me, that's sort of going to define, that's sort of always going to be an image in my mind, you know, of just Toritani, just the tough dude who really just toughed it out for a long time for the Tigers. Yeah. How about yourself?
Well, I remember that game as well. I think I was sitting next to you at that game, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was definitely a career definer, or certainly like a person defining moment of this is who Toritani is, and pretty incredible stuff. He also went through, you know, some broken ribs, and surely there's, you know, a long, you know, a full book of injuries that he went through during his streak. And I'm not really sure how I feel about that. I mean, I get, you know, being tough and playing through these things and overcoming, and I think that playing through injuries sometimes helps recover from them more quickly in some ways. But at the same time, like, yeah, that was a great moment, but he didn't contribute for a while after that anyways, and he was kind of taking away from Campbell's chances of getting some playing time. If you remember, that one game was Campbell's first start at third base.
That's right.
And he was brought in as a third baseman. And then even other injuries that he had, I mean, like, I don't know if he necessarily played better through the injuries or if we would have been better off having somebody else in there. So, but I get it, you know, from his personal perspective, he's like, well, if I take time off for injuries, then I'm basically telling my coaches, like, anytime I get hurt, feel free to replace me. And you don't want to have that idea in your coaches' minds. So I think that's a big one. It's just his perseverance. So the Ironman streak, though, is impressive, but I really think that the hits one as well. Like I said at the top of the show, or maybe when I was talking about August, you know, if you look at the big picture of Tory Tani's career, I don't know if there's a single season or a single, like, month or a single game that defines him, but I think if you look back at his career totals, I mean, I think his career average is about 280, which is solid. You know, his number of hits is solid. I think he's got, well, 2,082 hits. You know, and where he ranks in team history as far as career home runs, career stolen bases, career walks, that's another one, 1,043 career walks. All of these things add up to a very impressive resume, you know. But then again, like I said, if you look at the whole thing, I see one season in which he hit 20 home runs. His OPS, his best OPS was 848, which is quite good for a shortstop, but it's definitely not like he set a new bar for all future shortstops, right? His career high for batting average in a season was 313, which is good, but it, you know, he never won any titles, I don't think, for anything. He might have won for best on-base percentage. I think that's it. But so I really think just like the whole thing, just his whole career is impressive and how dedicated he has been to the game and to making sure that his body and his mind were ready for every game. Pretty impressive stuff. There you have it. That is the deal with Tory Tani. So number one will no longer be in the lineup in 2020, at least Tory Tani number one. And speaking of which, do you think that they will retire his number ever?
Hard to say, I guess, but I mean, you know, looking at his resume and looking just what he means to the fans, I think that it would be a possibility. Although then again, I mean, they still haven't retired Kakefu's number, so who knows?
Here's a couple of things about that, a couple of things that I think maybe the team looks at. One, were you a career Tiger? Because all three guys whose numbers are retired never played for another team. So if Tory Tani goes to another team, I think that might hurt his chances at having number one retired. The other one is, were you in any types of scandals or anything like that? So if you look at guys like Inatsu, who wasn't a career Tiger anyways, but had a great career, you look at guys like Kakefu even, I mean, they had controversy surrounding them in their careers or after their careers ended. And I think that really hurt, especially Kakefu, I think that really hurt his chances of having 31 retired. I mean, if they haven't done it yet, they ain't going to do it, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. Tory Tani won one title, but he wasn't really like the main cog in that title anyways. A pendant, I should say. I don't know. It's a tough call. Again, like, he had a great career as a whole. I could see them retiring it, though. I mean, if you look back at all the number ones even before him, there's nobody of note. And maybe he has done enough to be remembered as the number one in team history. Sure. Okay. So besides Tory Tani, do you think there's going to be any other retirement announcements this year? You look at some of these guys, especially on the top squad and how they are aging. Fukudome is 42, so he'll be 43 early next year. Nomi will be 41 early next year. And I'm bringing up next year's age because, I mean, if they keep playing, that's how old they're going to be. Kyuji will be 40 next year. Messenger will be 39 next year. And Itoi will be 39 next year as well. Any chance that any of these guys or anyone else announces a retirement this offseason?
I think there's chances, yeah. It's hard to say. I think that if there were going to be two of them, I think it would be Fukudome and Nomi are probably the most likely, I think. I think Fukudome, though, I think he's playing well enough now that I can see him coming back in 2020. I think it depends health, you know, on health. He did have some health issues this season, but, you know, he hasn't bottomed out so drastically to the point where you think, okay, yeah, it's time for him to hang it up. Nomi, too, I mean, he's had his rough spots, you know, as well, but I don't think he's a definite lock for retirement per se. Although I can see that as a possibility for both of those guys, maybe. I mean, depending on their sort of personal feelings, which is hard to gauge as a fan, you know. Kyuji is staying for sure. I mean, he's just been lights out again this season. He doesn't show any sign of slowing down. Randy, really, it depends on his health, I think. You know, I think we're going to have to wait and see what we see for the next month or so. But I think even if he has real, you know, some setbacks again this season, I think that he's going to work hard and try to come back again next season. So I don't think he's going to go out unless, you know, there's a serious health issue that makes 2020 look like it's in question for him. And I think Itoi, he has 1 year left on his contract. Am I right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think he'll come back and be back on the top squad, unreliable health-wise again, but I think he'll linger on for the rest of his contract. So I don't think there's any locks per se, but there's a chance, I think, yeah.
Well, I think I read that Fukudome was already kind of locked in or prepared to commit to next year, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. Now, Nomi, his ERA this year is about one run over his career average. So he's not doing great. And this is a guy that's a bit of a mystery to me because he has kind of expressed in the past, I think at the start of last season, maybe even the start of this season, he's like, yeah, I'm starting to feel my age. So I can't help but wonder. I mean, he also seems like a really good family guy and stuff too. So I can't help but wonder, like, is he going to want to kind of end his career a little bit? I mean, maybe, you know, don't wait until he completely bottoms out. But again, that's kind of the same thing as the Toritani situation where it's like, okay, well, do you feel like you've got nothing left to give? If you're all spent, then it's time. So Nomi is questionable. I agree with you on QG and also with Itoi, of course. We can't expect him to end on this note, especially missing the final month of the year. And I think he's determined to get it together and have a good, you know, full season with the Tigers. And I don't think it's going to happen next year either, but we'll see. As for Randy, I think I might have mentioned this in the past, but I think one of the big things is going to be, now, what do you do with his contract?
Yeah.
Because he's no longer Gaijin, but he is still getting Gaijin treatment in that they do provide for his housing on Roko Island in Kobe. So they still give him a ton of perks. And obviously, he's going to expect a lot of that to continue. But if you look at the numbers that he's put up, especially this season, and the fact that, you know, with his age, can we expect him to get better next year or not? Is the team going to be able to find a happy medium or a number that's going to please him, but also be okay with the team as far as contract goes? I think that's the issue there. I don't know if it's his health so much as the contract.
Yeah.
Because he's not playing Gaijin rules fully, but he still expects or will get some Gaijin perks. So I don't know. I highly doubt that he retires, especially if he doesn't reach that 100 win mark. But then it's going to depend what he's willing to come back for as far as pay goes. But as far as retirements go, I think that one of two things is going to happen to this guy. Akifumi Takahashi, I think, is 36 or 37 years old right now, and he has yet to produce at all. He hasn't played on the top squad this year. And even on the farm, I think his ERA is around 7.
I completely forgot about him.
Well, it's easy to forget about him since he wasn't very good last year either. He was good in 2017, though. He's 36. He'll be 37 next year. But yeah, having not played a single game on the top squad and having an ERA of 7 on the farm, I think is a recipe for him announcing his retirement. I don't think that he'll wait for the team to cut him because at age 37, nobody's probably going to want to pick him up or you know, give him a chance next year anyway. So I get the feeling that he might... And also, I'm not really sure about this. I hope it doesn't happen, but I think, I don't know, what about Okazaki?
Yeah, that's right.
Because he's getting up there in age. He also has not played on the top squad, and he's getting limited time on the farm. And I think he's valuable. He is also, by the way, 36. He'll be 37 in June of next year. So another couple of guys there. But these are guys that, again, have spent the whole year on the farm, don't really have great prospects of being called up the rest of this year or even next year as they get older. So I think those two guys... they either fall into retirement or cut. Yeah. Speaking of which, let's look at then who do you think should get cut this offseason? And let me preface this just by saying that, you know, in Japan, many of you probably know this already, but the team gets a 70-man roster, and that includes the farm team and the top squad. It doesn't include developmental players who don't count on the 70-player limit. But typically then, every year the team is drafting 6 to 8 new guys, which means that 6 to 8 of the older guys, and we're not talking Gaijin, we're talking typically like 6 to 8 Japanese guys leave and 6 to 8 guys come in, is around average. And so if we assume, okay, Toritani's gone and maybe one of those other old 5 retire, okay, that's 2 gone, and probably anywhere between 4 and 6 other guys probably should get cut or will get cut. Now let's go by position and just talk about some of these guys that may end up being gone in 2020. Let's start with pitchers. What guys do you think might or should be set free?
Man, I can't really think of any other pitchers off the top of my head.
You know, I was looking at the pitchers too, and there's a lot of youth in there and a lot of guys that I feel like probably deserve a bit more time. But a couple of guys that I'm not sold on are the guys that we got in trades. The trade for with Enokita, where we got Okamoto, I'm not sold on him. And we traded away Nyoma Matsuda, and we got Yuya Iida, and I'm not sold on him either. I wouldn't be surprised if either of those guys gets cut loose. And then other guys that just haven't really made appearances either on the farm or on the top squad this year, and that would be Kazuo Ito, who I think is just 30 years old, or he will be 30 years old this offseason. He's been hurt all this year. I think it was like a sports hernia or something. But you look at his career numbers. I mean, like, he was drafted in 2011, so 4 years ago. He has been on the top squad for a grand total of 35 games, and his career ERA is 5. So when you're 30 years old and that's all that you've given, I just kind of feel like maybe it's just time. I don't know. So he's one. Another guy that might surprise you, but I just don't know, and that would be Kuwahara.
Yeah.
Again, this is a guy that hasn't played all year. And, well, pardon me, he started the year. He played in 6 games, I believe, 7 games, and didn't do well in those games and was hurt. But he'll be 34 next month. So he's still not too old, but I just don't know if they've got room for him still. I'm assuming they're going to keep him, but he's another guy that's probably on the block. And then finally, Hiroaki Saiuchi, who was development player, recovered from that at the end of last year to become regular registered player, but has not made it up to the top since. Only 26 years old and just turned 26, so he's still relatively young, but he doesn't have a great resume, and he's been with the team now for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he hasn't been up in the top squad since 2016. So that's like 3 straight years of no top squad action. I kind of feel like maybe that's it. The writing's on the wall for him as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's a lot of guys we listed. So obviously it probably won't be all of them, but those are some possibilities. Okay. Catcher. What do you think? Anyone you want to say goodbye to?
Anyone I want to say goodbye to? No, I mean, like you said, Okazaki is the only guy that I can really think. I feel like Umeno has gotten to the point where he can, you know, call a game better and lead his pitchers a little bit better. So Okazaki's sort of veteran sort of presence isn't as necessary now. But aside from that, I can't really think of anyone off the top of my head. I mean, a lot of these guys that are likely to get cut are more minor guys that I don't see too much on a regular basis. So who do you have in mind?
So I would say maybe if Okazaki sticks around, and I hope he does, like, yeah, he's not going to maybe help Umeno anymore, but he is going to help the young pitchers on the farm. So to have him down there, he's a good presence to help them to just think through what they want to do on the mound. So I'd like to keep him, but I'd like to see Komiyama finally get the boot. This is a catcher that I think is batting 100 on the farm this year, and has not made it up to the top squad, if I'm not mistaken, since 2013. So that's like 6 full years of not
I didn't even know he was been around that long. I thought he was newer than that, but wow, yeah, okay.
He'll be 34 this offseason, yeah.
Oh, man, time to get him rid of him, yeah, for sure.
Pardon me, he's played in 11 games since 2013, but his only real season of getting regular playing time was 2012. His career OPS is 410, if that tells you anything. So, yeah, I just think, like, it's just time. I don't know, like, they got to draft a catcher and get rid of one of the older guys. And I think Komiyama, what has he got to give anymore? Maybe he can be a bullpen catcher like Azuhata, who was cut last offseason. Maybe he could be another bullpen catcher and kind of still stay with the team and get a paycheck, but just not have a 2-digit number anymore. Okay, how about the infield? What do you got?
Infield, well, I mean, there's a couple of guys who played a couple of positions, but I think Yokawa should definitely be canned. I think it's time. Time to cut him. I know he plays outfield sometimes too, but he doesn't play outfield particularly well either.
Nope.
I don't see where he slots in with this team anymore. It's going to depend, of course, on their plans for picking up other players. I just don't see him contributing too well. And I also think it might be time to say goodbye to Uemoto. I don't necessarily think they should, but I can see that there might be not really a lot of space for him there. He didn't really get a lot of playing time this year either. Of course, again, it's going to depend on the team plans and what they've got, you know, brewing in the offseason, but I could see him getting cut as well.
There's better guys, I should say worse guys than him playing that position to be cut. So role, I would say he's definitely a valuable asset still. I would sooner go with either Morikoshi or Yamazaki, and preferably Morikoshi. I don't know. I just don't like the guy. I don't think he's got a spot on the roster anymore. We picked him up because he got cut by the Dragons, if I'm not mistaken, and he's barely been up on the top squad in his 4 years with the team, so I think it's time for him to go. And then also just another utility guy, and I'm sorry because he's actually pretty cool. Seems like a nice guy, and you know, he's got some tools, but they just don't. They don't factor into top squad anymore, and that would be Fumiya Araki. He's 31 years old, and you know, a small guy with good defense and decent speed, but speed tends to, you know, slow as we age. He'll be 32 at the start of next year. Again, this is a guy with a career OPS under 500, with no career home runs, actually just three career doubles in 160 at-bats. So I don't know. I just feel like, you know, if we want defensive replacement slash speedy middle infielders, we've got Kumagai, and we've also got Obata coming up, and we've got I think there's one other younger guy than Araki there as well. So of course Kai Ueda as well. So we've got enough guys in the middle of the infield that are fast that kind of fit that same mold as Araki. So I think maybe it's just time to free up that space for somebody new. Okay, last one is outfield. What do you think?
Outfield again, like, I mean, the only ones I could think of, you know, as in terms of the major players that we've seen somewhat a lot of were Yokawa. So yeah, I'm kind of drawing a blank on other outfielders. Who do you have?
Well, you know, Shunsuke kind of fits the Uemoto mold that you talked about earlier, where he's getting a little bit up there in age and he's getting a little bit less useful. And again, I don't know, like, you know, he's defensive replacement material. He's not really a starting player type of guy. He doesn't steal a lot of bases. He doesn't hit all that well. And I think guys like Kairi Shimada might be ready to be that, you know, to fill that role until he might grow into a starting role. But I just feel like there's no more room left for that mold. The old mold. He's actually not that old, but him. And then also I was thinking, I don't know what they're going to do with Hayata, man. I mean, you know, the team tends to treat...
Yeah, forgot all about him.
Tends to treat the first-round draft picks with kid gloves and really, you know, make sure that they get every chance that they quote-unquote deserve. But, you know, this is a kid who's not a kid anymore. He's 30 years old. He'll be 31 at the start of the season and has not made a single appearance on the top squad. And really is not doing very well in the farm either. So I don't know. I don't think that they should or they will cut him, but he's definitely one of those question mark guys as well. So there you have it. I couldn't think of any other outfielders as well. We are quite scant when it comes to that position, and especially with Fukudome and Itoi being guys that we're counting on, we need as many backups as possible because, you know, both of them are now injury prone. So yeah, that's it for possible cuts. So we're going to do what we did last year. I'm going to make like a list, a chart, and we'll put it on the episode page of guys that we think should be cut or will be cut. And then we'll update the table as they get cut or not cut. Because September tends to be the month, and it happens right around now even. Like from the first week of September, guys will start to get notices so that they can start to prepare for, you know, what they want to do next season or this offseason, whether they want to try out or not for other teams. Anyhow, the last thing to look at then is foreigners. What are we going to do with our foreigners for next year? Who do we keep? Who should get canned? What positions and roles do we need filled in 2020 from the Sketto? And so, first of all, the news. Marte apparently has agreed in principle to come back to the team in 2020, which I think is great news. I'm glad that they are going to keep him. And let's see how he develops as he gets a full year. Keep in mind, he only started on May the 1st or maybe April 30th with the team. I think April 30th. And then he hit the first Reiwa home run in team history. So you got to keep him just for that. But yeah, Marte will be around for 2020, apparently. And then, man, of course, we got to keep Johnson, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that. Johnson has to stay. You know, here's a guy, though, that I don't know what his contract situation is. I know he loves Japan. He loves playing for the Tigers. I mean, it shows in the Hero interviews. Unless the guy's completely two-faced, he's having the time of his life here. But with the numbers he's putting up, man, he could go back to the majors. I don't know if Major League scouts are looking at him or not. But man, he has put together a crazy good season. So let's hold on to him. My question now is, do we keep Dolis and Garcia? Because and then do we keep Solarte or not? That's the other one too.
Yeah, Navarro's gone, obviously. That's not going to happen. Solarte, Man, I don't know. Unless he turns it around and quick, I think he's gone. The team seems to have little patience, obviously. And part of the news from Marte is that they're also examining a pitcher with the KBO, right?
They're also examining other hitters too, yeah.
Yeah, other hitters as well. It wouldn't surprise me to see Solarte gone and have another hitter come in. And Dolis too. I mean, you know, we talked about this before. I can see situations in which the team is done with him. I think it really depends on if they're going to, replace him with a Japanese pitcher and then bring in a big bat as a foreigner, or get a Japanese slugger and then pick up another foreign pitcher. But then there's Garcia as well. So what do you do with Garcia? I mean, but what was Garcia's contract? Was it 2 years or was it just the 1 year?
I'm actually not even sure. To be honest,
I thought it was 2 years, but I might be wrong. God, I don't know. You know, he's not terrible. You know, he hasn't been, the losses that he has, you know, he hasn't been that terrible aside from the start of the season. You know,
yep.
It's not just like a clear case of like, okay, this guy is terrible, but he also hasn't been good enough to really, I think, make his comeback, you know, a slam dunk by any means. So I don't know. I mean, I could see them getting rid of him too. No, you know, with the Tigers' notoriously short leash for the foreigners. So I don't know. What do you think?
So I just looked it up, man, and Garcia is on a 1 year contract, which means that they are at liberty to cut him this offseason.
Oh yeah.
And I can't help but wonder, man, because I mean, like, yeah, even though he hasn't, you know, we could say, well, he hasn't been that bad, or he hasn't really blown up since the start of the year. But I mean, he also has not been lights out in any single start. And if you look at even like his last six, he's lasted seven innings just once. He's lasted five or fewer in three of his last six starts.
Yeah, I guess I feel like there's been a few games where it was like errors in the field more than anything that sort of, you know, were his undoing. But you got to be able to recover from that too, I guess. So yeah, I guess I stand corrected a little bit. If it's just a 1 year contract, then I don't see any particular reason to bring him back. As long as they can find someone that isn't, you know, proven to be as bad as him, then it seems to make more sense to go that route. So
Garcia is a really nice guy, and he seems to really support his fielders in spite of the errors that they commit behind him and stuff. But, you know, maybe there was something to what they said at the start of the year when they signed him, and they said, you know what, he doesn't really do very well on these types of mounds or in outdoor stadiums or whatever it might be. Like, he just really has not produced the way that the team expected. And that's the thing. Like, I just don't know if he's done enough to merit another contract. His ERA at Koshien this year in six starts is 5.29. And keep in mind, only one of those blowups at the start of the year was at Koshien. The other ones, I think one was he did one on the road in the countryside and one at Tokyo Dome. So just that one blow, even though there was the one blow up, his ERA at Koshien is worse than it is at any other stadium other than Tokyo Dome. So I don't know. I don't see him coming back. I like the guy, but I just don't think that he's done enough to earn another contract. So I'm going to say that they might set him free, and I hope that they keep Dolis. What about Luli, Yenqin Liu? You know, this is a young guy that hasn't done particularly well even on the farm, but you think they give him another year to figure things out, or do you think that they're going to call the experiment off?
Geez, I have no idea. He's been so minor that I haven't even really followed along with him, but yeah, hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't hurt to keep him on the farm, so I think they might keep him around. I mean, I think I hope anyways that he's having fun with the team, and you know, if things pan out, great, and if not, then what does it hurt to have him on the farm for another year and living in the dorm for another year, you know? So I say they keep him. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how September plays itself out. And, you know, with Toritani leaving the team, that might open the floodgates to a whole bunch of other guys leaving, or it may not. But there will be some spots open for the new draftees. And so we'll see how many we were right on and how many we weren't. Now, let's look at the upcoming fortnight.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can.
So as we said earlier in the show, Guy, our most important week of the season, as it turns out, is this upcoming week, all on the road against the second place Bay Stars and then against the third place Carp. Now, the Bay Stars are short a few key guys. They're short their starting catcher, Hikaru Ito. They're also short their third baseman, Miyazaki, if I'm not mistaken. And then one of their relievers as well. But they are still holding in there, and they're, of course, hoping to push for a title, right? They want to dethrone the Giants. And so, man, I'm of the feeling I want an all or nothing here. I want a sweep one way or the other. if the Tigers are going to lose big and give the Bay Stars a chance to beat the Giants. But if you're going to win and get into the playoffs, this is the time. I mean, this is the team that we're good against, and this is the stadium we're good at. So let's see a sweep happen there. That's what I'm saying. It looks like we're not bringing our three top pitchers there. We're bringing our three better pitchers against the Carp, presumably. Because it is Aoyagi followed by Akiyama and then Garcia against the Bay Stars, probably. And then against the Carp, it would be Haruto and Nishi and Iwasada. So what do you think is going to happen this week? I mean, I say they have to go at least 4-2, and I'm hoping that they go 5-1. But what do you think?
Yeah. 4-2 is the minimum they need to make it into the playoffs. I think they can do it. I think 2 out of 3 is a lock for Yokohama. And if they can eke out 2 out of 3 against the Carp, then they're in really good shape. The Carp is the series, of course, I think that's going to be tough because we just beat up on Yokohama pretty bad almost all the time. So I think they can do it. I'm going to say, yeah, they're going to take 2 out of 3 of each of those series. I'm going to be optimistic with that.
So the good news with the Carp is that they just farmed Yusuke Nomura, one of their key starters. And then also Johnson is going today, and so probably we will not face Johnson either. So it looks like the Carp are not coming with their best against us, or so it seems, because they lost Yusuke Nomura. He's been farmed, I think, because of an injury. So they have Johnson today, and then Osada probably tomorrow, and then Tokota, who's their star rookie, on Thursday. And so when you get those three out of the way, the rest of their rotation is not that intimidating. So yeah, you're right, we could take 2 out of 3 there, especially with a big Juicy Head out of the lineup as well. So yeah. So there you have it. I would love to see at least a 4 out of 6, if not 5 out of 6 there. And then we've got 3 against the Swallows at home, followed by 2 against the Dragons on the road and 2 against the Giants on the road. Again, against the Swallows, this is a team we have to take advantage of. We have to win at least 2 out of 3, if not sweep there. And then with the Dragons and Giants, man, if we can hold tough at 2 and 2 combined, we're okay.
Yep. That's pretty much exactly what I have. Yeah, I think two out of three against Swallows, and then yes, split both of the short series, and I think we'll be in good shape.
So if that does take place, then we will. If that happens the way that we say it's going to happen, we'll be a 500 team the next time that we talk to y'all. And at 500, that could put us in third, or at least very close to third place. And so, you know, as long as we're in striking distance. And we get, you know, some of our tougher games out of the way, like the 2 in Nagoya and the 2 in Tokyo Dome. I think those are going to be the hardest games of the year for us to actually make some progress. So if we can just hold tight there, I think we're in good shape. So there you have it, everybody. It's good to be back, and forgive us if we were a little bit rusty today, but let us know also what you think of the Torii situation and the rest of the team. As you see this chart of guys that we think are going to be cut or retire, tell us your thoughts as well. We'd love to hear from you. So thanks again for your time, your passion for the Hanshin Tigers. You can find this podcast and extra news articles and more at www.thehanshintigers.com. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify. And subscribe and write a review if you can, or if you'd like to. We would love to be endorsed in that way. Share us on Facebook as well. We are there giving you some news and some scoring recaps after every game. So write a review there as well if you'd like. And you can follow me on Twitter at the Hanshin Tiger. And JD, you can follow me as well wherever you'd like to follow me. But of course, we're always in touch. But until next time, everybody, keep on cheering until Tori Tani has his number retired. And beyond. See you next time, everyone.
Take care, everybody. Come on. You know there is your boy.